Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, it's Monday, and, today we're gonna talk about a film. I'll jump off title because it's open phone lines. I tell you what, I always play motivational stuff, so let me do a quick interlude and then get back to our motivational stuff. It won't be long, and then we'll get into the jump-off talk, but other than that, it's open phone lines.
I got your message, Ollie.
You stupid son of a bitch.
You running games here? I want to play.
Sure, fine, play. Bring your friends.
Nah, I want to play with Artie.
Come on, let's go, will you?
Jump deals. Blackjack, house out.
Hey. You got some balls coming here.
Okay. From here on, nothing goes down unless I'm involved. No blackjack, no dope deals, no nothing. A nickel bag is sold in the park. I want in. You guys got fat while everybody starved on the street. It's my turn.
You think you're going to live long enough to spend that money, you fucking hump?
If any of you are tired of getting ripped off by guys like that, you come with me. I'm at the Plaza Hotel. You're welcome. You're all welcome. The joint.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right. Our jump-off topic is, by the way, the film clip that I played before we did the piece on Jamarian was from the film King of New York, starring Christopher Walken. Larry Fishburne is in that movie as well. But that's if you're in the gangster flicks, that's one of the, I guess, contemporary classics. King of New York. Anyway, speaking of films, National Geographic, they have a film division, and they produced a film that I highly recommend to everybody, man. It's titled The First Grader. The film is titled The First Grader, and it's based on a true story, and it's based on the life of and I hope I'm pronouncing this correct, Kenai Yeah, Kenai Nganga Marugi. Kenai Nganga, Nganga Marugi, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it was a film based on his life. Interesting, not his whole life, but a very interesting part of his life. And it's titled The First Grader. It takes place in Africa. And let me, let's see. Let me read you what I got. Let's see. Okay. Okay, let me see. Oh, here we go. Kimani. K-I-M-A-N-I. Kimani Marugi. M-A-R-U-G. And let me read it. It's a very inspirational film. But let me read about it. Kimani and Kimani Marugi. I'll just stop there. Sunrise, 1920. He was born in 1920, August 1920. He was born in 1920 and passed away, or sunset, August 14, 2009. Kimani Marugi holds the Guinness World Book of World Records for being the oldest person to leave primary school. He enrolled in the first grade on January the 12th, 2004, at age 84. Let me read that again. This man enrolled in the first grade at age 84 on January the 12th, 2004. Although he had no papers to prove his age, Marugi believed that he was born in 1920. However, he had the physical appearance of someone slightly younger. Marugi attended a primary school in Eldoret, Kenya. He said that the government's announcement of universal free elementary education in 2003 prompted him to enroll. In 2005, Marugi, who was a model student, was elected head boy at a school. In September 2005, Marugi boarded a plane for the first time and headed to New York City to address the United Nations 2005 World Summit on the importance of free primary and secondary education for all. Final years, Marugi's property was stolen by looters during the 2007-2008 post-election violence, and he contemplated quitting school. During the early 2008, he lived in a refugee camp where he was reportedly a minor celebrity 4 kilometers from school, but he attended classes every day. On June 2008, he relocated to the capital of Kenya, Nairobi. On June 2008, Marugi was forced to withdraw from school to relocate to a retirement home for senior citizens. However, soon after, on June 10, 2008, Marugi enrolled once again into standard six, I guess that's sixth grade, at Marura Elementary School, located in Karobanji, an area of Nairobi. Let's see. Marugi died on August 14, 2009, of stomach cancer at a Kenyatta National Hospital in Nairobi. He was buried at his farm. Let's see. Marugi was a widower and a great-grandfather. Two of his 30 grandchildren attended the same school and helped him study for his finals. He was a fighter in the Mau Mau uprising against the British colonizers in the 1950s. So here's a man, and in our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, you can see pictures of him by himself and with his fellow classmates. So here's a guy who at 84 years old, because his life was interrupted at a young age, you know, colonization in, you know, Kenya and different parts of Africa. Then, you know, he had to fight, and then he was raising a family. Here's him, and he owned a farm. Here's a man who was a landowner, had a farm, wasn't a rich man, but he had a farm, had children and 30 grandchildren, and at 84, he didn't need to go back to school. But he did anyway. And it's like, it's not like he went to college at 84 or got his high school diploma or GED at 84. This dude started from grade one. Can you imagine most people that are at that age or dramatically younger, 50 years younger than him or 60 years younger than him, their pride, they would be too embarrassed to go say, look, I need an education. I never had any, and I need to start off from grade one. He did it at 84. So it's a very inspirational film, which one of the lessons I get from it is no matter how old you are, if you want to learn something, go do what you need to do to learn. So if you're 24 years old or 34 years old or whatever, and you want to learn how to build your own house or build a car or anything, bake a cake, bake cookies, whatever it might be. You want to become a rocket scientist? Great. Find out what you need to do to learn it and go enroll or get a mentor or start working on it on your own. Be a first grader. The man didn't miss a day of class. This guy at 84, he was attending school. Well, I just read you the piece. Some of his grandchildren, or even maybe great-grandchildren, helped him out. They were his study buddies. Now, I imagine at recess, you know, he didn't do much, but, you know. I got a friend of mine, matter of fact, that lives in Asia. She's in her 30s, and she's in, I think, 11th grade. She dropped out at an early age, has a young child, but she decided to go back to school, and she's in her 30s. So, I mean, you know, 11th grade, 10th or 11th grade, something like that, and including gym class. So anyway, I felt they had to pay some honor and respect to this guy, Kamani Nruge. Man, hats off. You're never too old to start learning. You're never too old to be in first grade. So if you want to learn a language, man, anything you want to just learn is not too late. If you're in decent enough health, you can do it. Anyway, the film is based on, once again, the film is titled The First Grader. It was released May 13, 2011. And it was shot in Kenya. All right. Amazing. This guy had 30 grandchildren that attended the same school and helped him study for his finals. This guy was a father, grandfather, possibly a great-grandfather, fought in the war, owned a farm. He didn't need to go back to school. Well, he didn't need, well, but he did at first grade, so no excuses. Okay, all right, well, let's see. We're not going to be on long today because I got to slight headache and I need to, I'm going to set the phone down and just get rid of my headache here, but let's see, I think I can take at least one call. Let my phone repopulate here. And while it's doing that, once again, if you can, go check out the film, The First Grade. Okay, let's take the soul call for today. I got Alexa, I got a headache. 309, your mic is open. Okay, he might have stepped away.
Ozzy, I was trying to find my phone. It hit fell on the floor. So
okay.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Man, that gentleman is a definite inspiration. And then his grandchildren being able to help him do his studies, you know, that was great too.
Right.
I like the whole story right there.
Yep, it's a very moving film. Very moving film. So like I said, here, when it comes to learning something, we can all be first graders. You know, when, you know, you want to build, learn how to build a house or build a car or bake a cake or learn a language, it's there's a first grade with all of it. So
that is correct.
You know, people may as well get on board with that. Now, anything happening, any news in your neck of the woods, Chris?
No, other than I'm trying to find a company that can put a wrap on a truck that I found to start this Pick the City tour. So I'm wanting to, I'm been working on that one for a couple of days, but now I'm back on during the week here. I should be able to hopefully find something. Everybody was telling me they were 2 or 3 weeks out, which that still can work. I was just looking at when do I start, you know, with the trip and whether or not I drove and delivered those house packages to cities on the way to Palm Springs. On the 22nd, because of course this month is flying by just like every other month has, but that's where I'm at, yeah, just seeing what's coming next.
Okay. The guy, Whitfield in Orlando, any update on how his project's working along? I think he started last week.
Yeah, he sent me the address to it, and it's basically ready for us to put some models on and start showing and selling.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess the biggest challenge with that is finding a place to place them where you'll legally be left alone. I guess really the first step is to find the land, and then the building part is the easy part, is get making sure you know after it's built you can move to a place, you know, or build it in a place that's legal. Matter of fact, I saw a video over the last few days is this family in Seattle, Washington, King County, Washington, and they want to build an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, another name for a tiny house, in their backyard. And one thing that is stopping them, could you take a guess at what that might be?
The one thing that's stopping them from doing what they're wanting
building,
to do?
Yeah, exactly. From building that tiny house or accessory dwelling unit in their backyard.
I am going to say that it's a city ordinance. It's a city code.
Very, very close. Very close. I'll give you a 95 on that. The building permit. In order to start building, take a guess at how much the building permit is going to cost before they even shovel anything. In their own backyard, mind you. Guess how much the city is asking for the building permit.
Well, normally a building permit would go by the amount of money that the cost of the construction would be, but I want to say $1,000.
I wish. Nope, not $1,000. Keep on going.
And where did you say this was?
Seattle, Washington. One of the more expensive cities in the United States. King County, Washington. In the city of Seattle. And once again, like I say, these people already own a home, and they want to build an ADU in their backyard for their kids.
Now it's making more sense. Seattle, Washington has a huge homeless problem. And if they made it cheap for the people of Seattle to help the people of Seattle, they wouldn't make any money at it. And right now, they get funding that they use inappropriately in just about every city across the country to help people. And that makes sense why that building permit is so high. And you ain't even said what it is. It's because once that's built, that person is a deduction. It's like taking them out of prison, and the prison ain't making no more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird how they're making this whole system and society kind of rule around, how much can I get out of you 24 hours a day?
Exactly. And $1,000, I call that reasonable, but I mean, that's not cheap even $1,000, but this is more expensive than $1,000.
All right, so now how big is the ADU?
I don't know the dimensions on that.
Okay. Well, I'll take one more guess at how much they want. I'm going to say $3,500.
And that's a high price, too. The price is, and you know what, I'm going to get the video and send it to you. $75,000.
No
pull
way.
A building permit for an ADU in Seattle, Washington, King County, Washington. Not 7,500, 75,000.
Man, that makes me want to drive to Seattle. That makes no sense whatsoever. And
it does make sense.
Because if you look,
right. Well, now let's look at it also.
Grand a year.
Right. Now, I know like in Washington, D.C., I was talking to a friend of mine, and somebody wanted to cut down a tree in their backyard on their land. I mean, you know, the permit to cut the tree down, we're not even talking about what you have to pay the contractor. But the permit to cut the tree down is $7,500. This is in Washington, D.C. for one tree to pull a permit. And then on top of that, you got to pay the contractor who actually does the work. But when I heard that, I thought that was ridiculous, but I'm going to send you the video today. I couldn't believe it. $75,000 for a building permit for an ADU. And as you're hearing the video, somebody asked, what is an ADU? ADU stands for Accessory Dwelling Unit. So, like, in a place like Seattle, Chicago, or whatever, if you want to build a so-called tiny house in your backyard, all right, in many cities of the United States, particularly the larger ones, they don't call it a tiny house. The legal name is ADU, and this is for Accessory Dwelling Unit. So in the video, like some, I got to find and send to you, Chris. You know, with that kind of money, they don't have any money left to build. That's why I'm an advocate of go rural. But not all cities are like that, but I'm just saying Seattle. And Seattle's got a huge homeless problem. It's like the middle class is being wiped out.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. For the city or the county to assess a permit to that, I would want to see where their arguments to hold water is. Because to me, that's the first time I've heard a statement like that. You know, that even, I mean, that is so astronomically stupid for a building permit.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen million-dollar projects that get building permits for $10,000. So I've seen million-dollar projects get one for $3,500. That is unbelievable. I mean, really, you can build new construction and not say you're putting an accessory dwelling on there. You're just building a dwelling on there. What I would tell the people, split your deed and re-deed the property. It's cheaper.
Matter of fact, I'm going to send you. Well, hold on. Let me find Chris on here. I'm going to send you the text right now. Here we go. Now, the one I just sent you, I found it. I'm sending you two videos. Well, I'll visit. We got our executive producer, Robin. She hasn't been on in a while. Robin Maben. She lives in Everett, Washington. You know, that's about 30 miles away from there. I haven't been to that neck of the woods yet. But it sounds like Seattle's a nice place to visit. But if I'm going to live in the state of Washington, it won't be in King County. It'll be in another county in a rural part of the state. Chris, I sent you two videos. Yeah, the last video I sent you was check the last one I sent you. Check that one out first, because that's the one I came across. And the first one I sent you is a brand new one I ran across. I haven't listened to that one yet. But $75,000, man. I mean,
that's just so.
How many cabins? You can build, let's go with.
If we looked at the $10,000 cabin, you know, you're talking about having seven and a half of them for the cost of a permit.
Exactly.
That's just, that makes no sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. That's why I said re-deed the property. Because if you could split the property and go that route, now you can build a new dwelling and probably get that permit for $100.
Yeah, that's why with me, my budget is, you know, I'm small town America. That's where I'm at. I can fit that budget. Because in a lot of your smaller towns in the United States, you know, you don't even need a permit to build anything. And I understand a larger city, you need the revenue. Because, well, you have to look at, like, in a place like Seattle, all right, they got to make a payroll every 2 weeks. Then you got retirees, government retirees from your local systems, state government, I mean, city governments. And, you know, you got some people that are knocking down six figures, you know, working for the local governments. So where they are punishing the individual property homeowner, Joe American homeowner and Josephine homeowner, they keep on, property taxes and permit fees.
Yeah, that don't make any sense, especially when these are elected officials in a lot of those places and they're making six figures and they turn around and put those stipulations out against you trying to do something to better your family or just an individual, because there is a huge problem in that city. Along with Portland and, you know, that whole entire western area, there's a problem, a huge problem. And up there, you know, they have bad weather. And we know in Seattle it rains every day. So what do they think? Oh, this is just a natural shower that people are getting? You know, are they supposed to just take a cold shower every day and just make sure that they got a drip dry? You know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered now that some things are being brought to light. And that's one thing I really like about you and the research that you do finding these problems. You know, right now, that is one of the largest problems in the 18 years that I've been doing this to stop you from getting it done. What you just said this morning. This show right here today was more eye-opening and opportunity-closing shows to give me something that I know has to change. And they would have to figure out, you know, I want to hear the logic, you know, and I'm going to do some research and I'm going to stick some people on it because I want to find out as much about this and how long it's been like that. Because if they did this, say, in the past 20 years, if that raised in the past 20 years, well, that's the problem's been here mainly for the last 20 years. It was there prior to it, but it wasn't as bad. It's gotten worse. You know, these past two decades have, you know, I don't know. The decade before that, we had the internet come in. So now that whole generation was born with technology that we never had prior to that and accessibility to it. And we know that 95% of it's negative. So only 5% of what these next two generations have gotten is positive stuff. And now I'm finding out something. I want to find out exactly how long that stipulation has been in effect, because that's where the root of the problem starts. It shows the greed over the need, and that's my biggest problem with everything.
Now, I'm reading here. It says, what do you need a building permit for in Seattle? Which projects need one? New construction. Alteration or remodeling, demolition of building, demolition of a building or structure, change or use of occupancy on the property. For example, if you're changing an office to a restaurant, you need a permit. Work in an environmentally critical area such as a steep slope. Let's see. And if you don't get a permit, fines can be up to $500 a day. Let's say if, all right, this is for Seattle now. I'm reading this is permit place. If you do not get a permit, then the city may issue a stop work order against you. If you start a building, addition, or remodeling project without a Seattle permit. If you build without a permit or fail to get a final inspection approval, then these people are gangsters. Just gangsters. Then the city may fine you or take other enforcement action against you. The fines can be up to $500 a day. The city of Seattle ordinances require that you get a construction permit from permits that involve new construction, renovation, or alterations of a building. Fortunately, they are available to the city of on the city of Seattle's website. Now projects which do not require a permit. No Seattle permit is necessary for any projects that are considered minor repairs or alterations, nor is a permit usually required for miscellaneous home improvement projects such as patios, concrete slabs, painting, power washing, finishing interior wall or ceiling services, insulating existing buildings, or replacement or repair of deteriorated parts of a structure. So I guess with this family, the construction of an ADU, another word for tiny house, in their backyard, they're looking at that as new construction. But still,
that's
$75,000.
$75,000
still speak.
Didn't I just say that if you could pour concrete without a permit?
Now that's weird, man. You can pull the slab, okay, and you don't need a permit, but to put something on top of the slab, which they consider new construction. You know what? What about this though? You put no permit needed to pull the concrete, to pour the concrete slab. Then go to Home Depot or go on Facebook Marketplace or OfferUp or Craigslist, buy you a shed that's already built, and move it on in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm sitting here thinking. It's the same as buying a package from me. So
right.
I can bring a house package to you already built, deliver it, and put it on a slab that you didn't have to have a permit for. So we might have found a loophole in their wording that they could possibly set that up. There might be something there.
Chris, listen to this. All right, all minor repairs or alterations. You do not need a permit for minor repairs or alterations that cost $6,000 or less in any 6-month period of time. All right, you need a permit for any work on load-bearing supports, changes to the building envelope, and work that reduces egress, light, ventilation, or fire resistance, no matter how small the project. Miscellaneous work that usually do not require a permit, patio and concrete slabs on the ground, painting or cleaning the building, repointing the chimney, installing kitchen cabinets, paneling, or other surface finishes over the existing wall or ceiling systems, insulating existing buildings, in-kind or similar replacement or repair of deteriorated parts of a structure. So, like, let's say you had a dilapidated shed in the backyard, because Viata did that when she's in Orlando. She took a shed that was already there and just, you know, remodeled it. No permit needed. All right, building and landscaping, you usually don't need a permit. A one-story detached accessory dwelling, such as a greenhouse, tool house, or storage shed, playhouse, or, you know what? They named, whatever they named it wrong. I'm saying I'm building a playhouse in the backyard. No building permit needed.
Yep.
Let's see.
Or
similar building, if projected roof area is less than 120 square feet. Now, I don't know what the square footage of what they're trying to build. So, Chris,
no,
like you mentioned, there are loopholes. What do you say, Chris?
Yeah. I said that 120 square feet, though, does fall into the fat situation. And
right.
That and falls into the loophole.
Right. So this family, what they need to do is they need to assess, all right, wait a minute. Let's get this square footage down. Okay. Let's reduce the size of the square of the building. But there are loopholes there. All right, so okay. Well, any other thoughts or comments? Because I got a slight headache. I'm gonna knock off really near nurse that. Okay. Anybody else quickly? We can open up your mic. If just press one if you got anything to say. Other than that, okay, we got some people. All right, press one if you got any comments, suggestions, thoughts, topics we want covered. And I guess that's something we're going to have to go through. How to, there are loopholes all over the place. So it looks like this family, they need to go back to the drawing board. All right. So it, because like I say, in what I just read were the loopholes. They're all loopholes, which means, all right, you want something in your backyard, all right, instead of calling it this, all right, they can put a shed in the backyard. And here's the thing, it can look exactly the same as what you call it. So instead of calling it a tiny house, or ADU, accessory dwelling unit, if you call it a shed, call it a playhouse. This is in their playbook, the city's playbook. There are exceptions, which they call loopholes. They don't use that term, loopholes. But so you don't need a permit if it's a shed. It has nothing in there about the design of the shed. You can call it a playhouse. It has nothing in there of what a playhouse should look like, the design. So this is loophole thinking. Man cave, she shed, that's not even on the books. All right, they're going to take a look at, well, how big is it going to be? How many square feet? Okay, well, if it's you know, 120 square feet, you're clear. You can build. You don't need a permit. Look at the playbook and go from there. Okay. Well, I don't know if Chris is still around, but all right. If anybody's got anything else to add, press one now.
Well, I mean, I'm liking what you're saying.
Oh, yeah,
that's
okay.
For sure, because yeah, I'm here. I just put it on.
Oh,
mute.
Chris, did you get a chance to play that video?
No, I haven't played it
Chris,
yet. I'm gonna.
Play?
I was gonna. I
tell you what.
I was gonna watch.
I tell you what. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stay on. I'm gonna play a musical interlude or two. Listen to that video.
Okay.
And then when I open back up the mic, I want you to comment on it.
Okay.
All right.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
told you a little while ago, these leaders that they call leaders, this included Lena Horne, this included Dick Gregory, and this included comedians, comics, trumpet players, baseball players. Show me in the white community where a comedian is a white leader. Show me in the white community where a singer is a white leader, or a dancer or a trumpet player is a white leader. These aren't leaders. These are puppets and clowns that have been set up over the white community and or over the black community by the white community and have been made celebrities and usually say exactly what they know that the white man wants to hear. And it is an honor, actually, that they endorsed Dr. Martin Luther King and were against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's actually an honor. Now, when you say that they also, in the same Newsweek poll magazine, I think the pollster said that he went into the Negro community and asked about the Muslims. And many Negroes whom he asked said, well, I never heard of the Muslims. Who are they? You know,
this is the rank and file we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Now, when they got down to the rank and file, this was the answers that they got. This is the equivalent to the situation in Kenya during the Mau Mau uprising, when many frightened whites in Kenya, Africa, would go among the Africans and ask them, what about the Mau Mau? And the African would say, I never heard of them. And the same white man who would ask the African this question and very naively believe what the African said, when he went to bed that night, he would lose his head. And usually the one who took his head was the same African who told him that afternoon he had never heard of the Mau Mau.
Except in the Newsweek poll, they used Negro interviewers.
You'll find that oftentimes Negroes are as much on guard around Negro interviewers, who usually represent the bourgeois element of Negroes, as they are on guard around whites. Usually Negroes know that when this bourgeois Negro walks through the door, he is not doing something that he's initiated himself, but he's involved in something in which the white man is the absolute author of and has sent him to the Negro community for some information. And when they give that Negro some information, usually they give him the information that they want the white want him to take back to the white man, because that's who he's going to take it back to. Complicated, complicated, complicated. I let my
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, yeah, man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
He a man today. He a man.
All right, that was from The Wire. Cuddy, he decides to get out of the drug game. Okay, Chris, you got a chance to listen to that, at least that first audio, I mean video?
Yes, I did. Yes,
I
watched
both of them. Okay, all right. I didn't watch the segment. I just saw it in that sentence. I watched it later. Anyway, your thoughts on both of them?
Well, you know, the family had to come together during COVID, and what the city has done, passing this thing, they made it for the wealthy, for the big developers, to pass it on to the wealth, to the luxury clientele, so they don't worry about up to $75,000. Now, the one thing is the $75,000 is supposed to be put in a fund to help other individuals fix up their properties. So it's supposed to be a beautification and revitalization fund, from what I'm gathering out of the few minutes that I spent listening. I know there's a little more because I kind of stopped the second one because I didn't know exactly how long we were going to stay on break. But the family, I believe we could help them by falling in the guidelines of what they're not asking for to help them.
Right.
Now, one of the other things that I saw there, now you got the property next door and it's an empty lot. And if you would build to get away from the $75,000 fee, if you would build rental property on that property and guarantee you'll rent it for 75 years, you don't have to pay the money. But you have to basically sign that property over to rental. That's something I learned in watching the video.
Okay. Well, that's why occasionally I bring up the game of chess. Is you know, you learn load a landscape, but within in this particular landscape, like I said, the family. You know, and I don't think the family read the rule book, because they could build in their backyard. All right, we already know you don't need to pull a permit in the city of Seattle, a concrete slab. You do not need to pull a permit for that. All right. Next is, the project doesn't go above what, $6,000? I think that's another thing I read. So they can scale it back to that with materials that they get. And then if it's below a certain square footage, or you call it a shed, a playhouse, and other things that they name, you can legally do all of that in Seattle, Washington, King County, Washington State, without a permit. So that is in their rule book, and we call those loopholes. Now, they don't use the word loopholes, but they said they do spell out no permit needed if, and then you just read, you know, what you don't need a permit for. That's the way I would do it. If you have to have something in that particular city, so that is a legal way. The know the rules and go from there. But so after I read that, what the loopholes were, I think back on the video. I'm thinking, this family, mom, dad, and the kids that are grown, none of them read the playbook. And it's really not even a playbook. They didn't read two or three important paragraphs that would eliminate the $75,000 permit fee. So there is hope there.
I agree. But, you know, I also, there's a few other things that I learned in those videos. You know, one, you know, you got a victim of violent crime thing. Well, not only does that fund do the thing for the repairs and stuff, but it's to basically pay, you know, I guess the second one gave an explanation of someone, you know, in there getting 7 years in prison and, you know, this, that, and the other, and they come down and says, but you also have to pay $10,000 in fines and this much in restitution, or, you know, and that's where the county can get that money. They can get that money.
Right.
So not the individuals in the county get the money, or the city get the money. So, yeah, that was something else. I just wanted to throw that little, I thought about it more. What else did I get out of those videos? So that was something else.
Right. Well, so I guess people, if read the playbook, read the rules, before you start on your tiny house project, now you know what they could do is they could, because the project that they're talking about is probably a permanent structure. What if they built the same, change the design, keep the square footage, but built it on a temporary structure. I mean, call it a temporary structure, you know, build it on skids. Or it could be seasonal, you know, where you can disassemble it, you know, like you got guests coming over for the holidays or whatever. Assemble it, you know, for guests, and then disassemble it. So it really comes down to, like I say, reading the rules, find out what the loopholes are, and then, you know, making a game plan towards it. That's if you're in a city the size of Seattle, and that would apply to Los Angeles, New York, and a lot of other places. Of course, if you go rural, you don't have to worry about all that for the most part. So. Okay. All right, we're going to take one more break here. If anybody's got any feedback, questions, answers, suggestions, hit one. We'll patch in.
I was talking to a cat the other night. He said, what everybody's looking for this? What everybody's looking for today? They're looking for escapism.
You better watch the man.
Bud! Come over here, brother, let me tell you something. You think we're talking too loud?
Hush that butt!
I ain't got no dust. I don't have to take it on the land.
Watch that man.
Huh?
Watch that man.
Watch him. Yeah, all right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Coming from some funny places. What'd you say, bro?
What's happening? Down.
Huh. Trying to get down. Well, you know, look at him. We can't have that.
That's right. Right on. Yeah.
Ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say, Jason?
Hey, don't be so mean.
You know I'm clean now.
Yeah. And on the sea.
Excuse me, cat, while I rap. People, your middle class people, and the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to the short and the tall. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Price is going up and out of sight.
Listen. Charging $3 a half a pound for folk y'all. Man, that ain't right. Put this in your hat and smoke it.
Price is going up. Getting the best of me.
Listen. Do you know the only time I feel strange is when I'm looking at a cowboy picture on TV? And you listen to this. If you notice they're charging too much for a
black eyed pea and butter beans,
I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get ahead? Say they gonna charge a dollar and a half for a day old loaf of bread. You tell me that ain't
crisis.
We got to do something about these
prices.
Yes, we do. You tell me that ain't inflation. Price is about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm gonna even call the press, see what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old food back in two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here, have you dug the price of sugar, flour, and meal? Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're gonna look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. Lord, listen.
Tell us more, Mad Man.
The Abbey suit today.
Talk about prices. Prices.
I'll run you 2 1/4.
Talk about prices. Prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices.
For a drink of water.
Talk about prices, prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and 50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog is even scared to bear his bone. When he come back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in that, all of them packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw so I could get
prices
my shit.
Prices and prices.
Daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices
for the cemetery. I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices
going for that.
Prices.
You should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices
Cadillac
and
started saying, prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Bring them down.
Prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
We've got to bring them down. Everybody.
Everyone on the board is here for one reason and one reason only.
To protect the king.
That is right. To protect the king. Now, he is old and has survived many battles, so he can only move one spot at a time.
So who's got his back if he can only move one spot?
The queen. Now, she is smarter, faster, and stronger than her king. The knight is the horse. Now, he can move two spots forward and one spot to the side. The trusty bishop is his diagonal attack. The rook, he patrols the entire board. He can move as many spaces as he wants as long as it's in the same direction he was moving. Ah, yes, the pawns. They are the front line. They will be casualties.
Crap's boring, man. Kids game. What you reading?
Let me put it to you this way, way you'll understand. Think about it like this. Who's your supplier?
Are you trusting?
Hey, I know you ain't growing that weed you're selling, and so does everybody else in here you're trying to sell it to. So who's your guy? Huh? Hey, your ace in the hole. Trying to protect your king. I like that. Okay. All right, well, then let's call this king Perry. King Perry it is. Now, King Perry has an army, and you're a part of it. But the problem is, you think you're out there doing the king's business. All you're really doing is sacrificing yourself, like the pawn you truly are.
It ain't like that, B.
It's exactly like that, partner. Now, if you want to keep making the same mistakes for a king who could care less about your ass, out there is the board to do it on. But if you want to learn how to make the right maneuvers, this is where you do it, right here, on this board. So what do you want to do? You want to learn how to play?
Play it out, man.
I'll play.
Me too. Talk to me.
I'm gonna kill my mom's boyfriend.
What?
I'm gonna get a gun. I'm gonna shoot him. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care. But he ain't gonna touch nobody no more. Not me, not her, not nobody. I swear on God he ain't gonna touch nobody.
Well, what do you think that's gonna prove? I was locked up for 17 years in prison. I just got out. I spent almost 2 decades in the joint. I blamed everything on everybody else but me. I was just touching the pieces, moving them whenever I could, without thought. That's why none of y'all can get nothing over on me. I've done all the dumb stuff that y'all have done twice. Some of it 3 times.
What you do?
Whatever I wanted to do. I stole. I even ran a crew.
And they gave you 17 years for that?
No. I got my 17 years for armed robbery. I robbed a bank. Cops came and we all scattered. Then I took the fall. And then I learned.
What did you learn?
I learned the board. You move? Good.
Hit me.
Even better.
Okay, that was an audio clip from the film, I highly recommend it, Life of a King, starring Cuba Gooding Jr., and it's based on a true story. And matter of fact, if you ever get to Washington, D.C., or the next time you're through D.C., including myself, next time I get up to D.C., go to Southeast D.C. and look for the Big Chair Club. The Big Chair Chess Club. The Big Chair Club. I mean, the Big Chair Clubhouse. This guy, he did time in prison, and he learned how to play chess and became very proficient at it. And then he got a house renovated in Washington, D.C., and, teaching kids how to play chess and how to apply those lessons that you learn in chess to your real life, personal life as well as business life, anything you want to apply it for. But I highly recommend that film. Also, Life of a King, starring Cuba. It might still be on Netflix. If not on Netflix, you can find it on YouTube or Amazon for sure. But Life of a King. And now, going back, and I'm going to, while I'm thinking about it, type into any search on, YouTube, type in Dad Gives Son for... Dad gives 13-year-old son 40 acres. There's a black guy out in Los Angeles, and I just ran across this morning. A black father in Los Angeles, California, he bought quite a bit, like 100-plus acres of land, and he gave his 13-year-old son as a birthday present 40 acres of land. Now we're not going to get into it today, but that just reminds me of. Now, they're from Los Angeles, but he bought the land in Arizona and Texas or someplace like that, and he bought 40. I mean, like over 100 acres, but for his son's 13th birthday, he gifted his son 40 acres of land. That's all into what I call last week we went into, is it discrimination or competition? 40 acres, he has no competition. His son at 13 has no competition. That's part of the landscape. Now, if we take, and I want to go, matter of fact, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page. I got to find it. The video of the family, okay, Seattle, Washington. Okay, it's a short video, but I don't have enough time to download it to play it back for you guys on the live stream, but it's, okay, I got it. Okay, I just posted it on our Facebook page, which is DIY TV. Our Facebook page is DIY TV. And I just posted something there where you see a picture, a thumbnail of a black woman. The headline reads, "Right now, the only ones that are building here are raccoons." Now, watch the video and see what you draw from it, because you can spin that story any kind of way. Now, the way they spun it on this video is, here's a family. They just happen to be black. It's not a racial thing at all. But they already own a home, and they want to put a tiny house, also known as an accessory dwelling unit, in their backyard. But the building permit for that is $75,000. Now, if you go and read the code, now this is what it has. This is why I bring up chess on this show occasionally, and this is why I played the clip "Life of a King," because he's talking about the chessboard. All right. Once again, the first part of learning the game of chess, of mastering the game of chess, the first, forget about the pieces on the board. Learn the landscape. Now, in Seattle, Washington, which has, they have a high homeless population, it's very expensive to live there, housing and all. However, and that's part of landscape, however, there are loopholes within the landscape because a lot of people, after reading some of the rules online today, I'm looking at their family completely different. They can still put a small structure in their backyard because by reading, once again, you need to learn the rules. A lot of people get into trouble, including getting killed, because they don't know the landscape and they don't know the rules of that landscape. So here's what we found out this morning after we found out some of the rules. They're loopholes, as Chris would call them. Now, if we read in the code book, it's not listed as codes, but it's listed as, in plain English, you know, circumstances or situations where you do not need a permit. So number one, they do not need to pour, I have to have a permit if they pour a concrete slab in their backyard. Nope, that's a loophole. That's a permit. In some places, they call it exemptions. We also know that if they spend no more than $6,000 on the structure, they don't need to pull a permit. All right? These people need to listen to the solar cabin video that I play quite often on here, where Lamont Alexander built a cabin for $2,000. He put solar on it for additional three. That's $5,000. That's $1,000 under the $6,000 cap where you don't need a permit in Seattle, Washington. So they don't need to – what they need to do is they need to just make some tweaks. Okay, let's find out how we can spend less money, and let's find out, without changing the design, this is how we can spend much, money, and then we can put this project legally in our backyard, no permit necessary from the city of Seattle or anybody in King County. Those people didn't read the rule book. And it's not the responsibility of the civil servant to tell them how they can get around it because, you know, they're just processing. You know how government workers are. You know, that's not their job. That's your job. Okay, so it's posted up there. Let's go to DIY television. DIY Housing TV, and it's the first, it's titled, it's a black woman's the thumbnail. Right now, the only ones building here are the raccoons. Go and then look up the where you don't need a building permit in Seattle, and then you'll see, obviously, this family did not read the rules on how to play tiny house chess in Seattle, Washington. All right. Now, with that said, all right, last chance to talk is press one if you want to say anything, and then and we'll wrap up. I said that an hour ago, didn't I? Anyway, okay, let me see. Okay, Chris, any final thoughts for today? If he's around. Okay. All right, well, check out that video in its entirety on YouTube. Oh, unmute him. Oh, you know, I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm glad
you sent that text to me because I didn't. Yeah, so Chris, any final thoughts on obviously they didn't read the rules. They didn't read all the rules.
Obviously. Right. And you know, they're one thing about it is even the lawyers and stuff though, they're actually looking at it at the full scale. You know, there's a problem. And the wealthiest place for that problem to carry on and hurt, you know, the middle class altogether.
Right.
You know, and they just looking like they want high class in their city only. And the thing is it's a proven fact that the stronger your root community is, the more economic base everything is, and crime goes down. So you're only as strong as your weakest link. So we got to get these people, you know, stronger. And they're not going to do it by only strengthening the rich. The rich are already strong. And to me, you know, today was, a great eye-opening situation, because I imagine there's other cities that are doing the same, as we know what the cost to house one person in LA for four walls,
right,
and a bathroom. And that amount of money is more money than it's going to cost, you know, 40 to 60% of the country, the cost to house one of them for a year is more than it's going to cost to house you for the next 25.
Right.
So you think about that, you know, 25, 30 years, and here you are, you spent that in 1 year just to house one person in that city because of greed.
Right.
And, you know, to me, it's absurd. And, you know, the fact that this family has this opportunity, I believe that, you know, they need to be educated, not just, they got 70,000 views. And I hate to think the 70,000 people haven't did just a little bit of diving when you spent a few moments and done it, that kind of gave us a discussion that there's a solution around what has been put in place where we don't have to go change it.
Exactly. And like I said, just all they need to do is they don't need to change the design, just shrink it down a little bit and they'll be good. So, and we know we're going to probably cover loopholes on a regular basis here. What they are, how, you know, it, like say, in some law books is exemptions, but in the Seattle thing it was just plain, you know, where permits, you know, where you don't have to get a permit. So, you know, we'll hit that this week as well. Anyway, Chris, thank you for
really
participating. Thank you all. Huh?
I said it surprised me that they didn't have to have a permit to pour concrete.
That's where I was shocked.
That right there is the basis of anything can be. Because if the one thing that they might say, oh, well, that concrete won't hold a structure. Okay, well, what if you dug footings and stuck it in there? Because there ain't nothing there. All you got to do is know that there ain't no power or nothing and dig your footing
right.
and do a monolithic pour. So now your footing is
right.
in the ground. I know I built an 1,800-square-foot commercial building right here in Bloomington with a monolithic pour concrete, and it's got 3-foot footings. So the footings, you know, come all together with it. It just comes down to now that they say you can do it, they're, you know, now the sky's the limit of just educating the community and doing it silently enough to where there's not an alarm flag brought and make people stop. Because, you know, all you need to do is make a change in one person's life, and others will see. And
right.
maybe it'll be this family here that's got 70,000 views on the, or 30,000 or whatever it was on. I watched two different ones, but I know both of them got a lot of views. And
right.
you know, that
makes
a ton of difference.
Well, yeah, you know, look up, you know, code and read it for themselves. Anyway, thanks, Chris, for the feedback today. That's it. I am going to go nurse this headache. You guys have a good rest of the day.